بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So respected elders, respected brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now this is the month of Ramadan in which we are more focused on our worship and we have more of an order in the day. We have more of a schedule, a worship schedule, a schedule of deeds and actions that we try to follow during this month more than any other month. And it's difficult at other times. I mean, there's no doubt we don't live in the time of Imam Ghazali and others where life was supposed to be more simple. And it wasn't as complex as today. Today, it's quite difficult for us to focus the way they may have been able to focus. Allah knows best. We haven't really experienced those times. So we're making a comparison based on insufficient evidence and information. So it may not be true what I'm saying. And maybe their challenges were as great as ours. But when we read the ease and the simplicity that seemed to be basically what was followed by the people of those days, as we see from the books, then it seems like we have a more complex lifestyle. Now, Imam Ghazali, in one of his books, it was one of the later books he wrote in his life, called the Bidayatul Hidayah, which he wrote for some of his students. It's called the Beginning of Guidance. The idea of this book was to show those people the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who were searching for guidance, to show them what was the beginning of guidance, what was the preliminaries of it. For example, when you want to make salat, there is a preliminary requirements which are wudu, facing the qibla, you know, having your body covered, having your body pure, etc., etc. Without that, you try to make all the salat in the world and it won't work. Right? So, what he's saying is that if you want to reach Allah, which is your final goal and ultimate aim, then there is a beginning to it. And if you don't understand how to start in the beginning, then there's no way you're going to be able to reach the end. And I think what it does is that it really kind of opens up. It really kind of opens up the whole idea of faith, the whole idea of what is required from us and what's the way to Allah, the purpose of this life and the focus in the hereafter, what is that way. So today what we're going to be covering is a section, is just a brief section of that book, which is a very practical section. It's not just telling us that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and this is what the Sahaba did, but it's actually he's telling us how to arrange our day in a way that our day will be profitable and it will be fruitful. It will bear the fruits of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, this what he's speaking about here is not specific to Ramadan. But I think that for us, with the inclination we have towards faith and the different schedule that we have and the ability to be more flexible during the month of Ramadan, I think we can try this out to reap its benefits and its rewards. Basically what he's saying, he starts off with the beginning at Fajr time. Now if we want, we can take this for before Fajr. I mean, he's talking about this after Fajr. Because what he does in a number of these pages is that he starts from Fajr and he tells you exactly what you should spend, what we should spend our time doing from Fajr until sunrise. Then from sunrise to Dhuhr time. And then Dhuhr time to Asr, Asr to Maghrib, Maghrib to Isha, Isha, and then into the night, the Tahajjud, etc. And then back to Fajr and then so on. And if we can try to have our days, or even just the weekends, when it's possible for us to do this without having to go to work or whatever it is, where we don't have to go to work, then inshallah we can really benefit. And that's why I'm mentioning this. At least the Fajr time, at least the ritual and the order that he tells us to follow for the morning, I think we can do that all of these days, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. Basically, this is how he starts. He says that after the Fajr prayer is performed, then he tells you to make dua, etc. Then he says, وَلْتَكُنْ أَوْقَاتُكَ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَىٰ تُلُوءِ الشَّمْسِ مُوَزَّعَةً عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعِ وَظَائِفِ. That your time from between, after you perform your Fajr prayer until sunrise, should be split up in the following four activities. He's telling us to do four things after Fajr. Now take note of this. And let's see if tomorrow we can do these four things. Now if you're getting up early for Tahajjud prayer and for Sahri and Suhoor, and then, you know, by the time Fajr comes in you are very tired and you want to go to sleep afterwards, then do this maybe before Fajr starts. Right? Do it beforehand. But try to do these four things, at least during the month of Ramadan. And if not every day, then at least in the weekends. But I think since Fajr is early enough, I think we can sacrifice an extra hour or so just to do this. So he's saying that number one, you're going to do four things and your time should be split up into four sections. So if the time is about, let's just say it's an hour, then you'll split it up into 20, 25 minutes, you know, it's into 20 minutes, 20, 40, 60, 80, 15 minutes each, right? Now, وَظِيفَةٌ فِي الدَّعْوَاتِ. First one is, one section of this should be for du'as. One section should be du'as. Now what we're talking about here in du'as, you can raise your hand and just make all the du'as that come out of your heart for all the things that you ever wanted and that you need and you want in your life and in the hereafter. If you run out of those in your 15 minutes, then take a kitab, a book like Hisnul Haseen, Hisnul Muslim, Hizbul A'zam, or any of these other kitabs that contain a number of du'as, and you start reading, you're reading from there. You're making these du'as. Du'a is a prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're asking Allah to answer so that we can benefit from it. For guidance, for prosperity, for health, for iman, for kalima on our deathbed, for paradise inshaAllah, for our parents, for the Muslim world. So one section he says, dedicate to du'a. وَوَظِيفَةٌ فِي الْأَذْكَارِ وَالتَّسْبِيحَاتِ وَتُقَرِّرْهَا فِي مُسَبِّحَةٍ. This a second segment needs to be dedicated to tasbihat and dhikr. So basically in this, what we're doing is we're reading your subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allahumma salli ala Muhammad, you know, or any other book of dhikr, any other book of wazifa that you have where you just spend the time just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or this could be as simple as, what he's saying is that he's actually recommending the use of a tasbih. And I think the reason for this is that it helps concentration. Remember the tasbih, to use the tasbih is not necessarily a sunnah per se like that. And that's why you have people who, if they see you with a tasbih, they actually say, brother, this is bid'ah, right, to do that. It's not a bid'ah because you're not taking this as part of the sharia. You're using this as a tool. And I know from experience, my personal experience, that if you're sitting in a car, for example, or on a long trip or something, and you know, you got a tasbih in your hand, you can. It might be dangerous driving for some people, so don't quote me on this. But basically, if you're making tasbih with on your hands, on a tasbih, if you're repeating something on a tasbih, you're more likely to do a lot more, because what happens with when you're doing it on your hands, except for those who are, mashallah, experienced and accomplished in this regard, what happens is you're doing this and suddenly shaitan takes your mind away and, you know, your hand goes and does something else and then you don't even know. There's nothing to remind you that you are doing tasbih. But with this, at least you look at it and say, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be saying subhanallah and I've gone somewhere else. It helps a bit, right? But for those who have concentration, they don't need to use that. So he's just giving some advice here. So the second section needs to be dedicated to remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third section, في قراءة القرآن, in the recitation of the Qur'an. So a section of the Qur'an you can recite during that third section. The fourth one is tafakkur, meditation. Now this, you know, the first three we might do, you know, we read our du'as, we do du'a to Allah, we raise our hands, we'll do some tasbih as well, you know, and then, you know, we will also read Qur'an, alhamdulillah, during the month of Ramadan. But the fourth one is something that is not part of our schedule for the majority of us, which is tafakkur, which is just to sit and literally yourself and Allah think. That's it. We're just thinking, we're just pondering, it's meditation. What are you thinking about? Thinking about a number of things. You can think about just how life has been going for so many years, and where we're going when it comes to the reality of this life, whether paradise is any closer to us. The other meditation is about whether, if we die today, what's going to happen? If we die tomorrow, do we really have enough preparation? Do you think I would even say kalima, la ilaha illallah? And so these kind of thoughts, death, amount of good deeds that we've done, what we've accomplished, the greatness of Allah, the smallness of our own being and everything around us, looking around and just looking at the futility of the world around us. These are the various things you can think about. There's an abundant amount of things to think about once we start to think. Believe me, there are so many things, you should never get bored in thinking about it. But I'm just giving these lists just so that we can have a number of different things. You can think about different things every day. Force ourselves to think. Unfortunately, we don't think any longer. We only think when you run into trouble, about a way to extricate ourselves from the trouble. We never think when we're in times of prosperity, about how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really like in ourselves. The only time we might think is when we're listening to a bayan. But that is not very private. The most private of times when we're between us and Allah directly is when we do it ourselves. That's why this time of tahajjud is beautiful for that. And that's why when you're making a tahajjud prayer, it's about this special communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very private kind of, very personal kind of, very intimate kind of prayer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, this time after fajr, this is the fourth section of this time, is that it should be spent in some kind of thought and meditation. Some kind of muraqabah, as you call it. Anyway, he gives us some ideas. He said, what should you be thinking about? فَفَكِّرْ فِي ذُنُوبِكَ. Think about your mistakes and your sins. وَخَطَايَاكَ وَتَقْصِيرِكَ فِي عِبَادِ مَوْلَاكَ. And your shortcoming in your worship of your Lord. So now, think about it, that though we are fasting, is our fast really up to that standard that would really, that Allah would really be pleased with? Or is it just something we're doing just to get by it? Is our standing in Taraweeh the way it should really be? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He receives this, it is really received with great adornment. And all the other worships that we're doing, when we give our zakat and everything else that we do, when we read our tasbih and our Qur'an, and even what I'm doing right now, even when I'm sitting there thinking, is this the way, am I really concentrating, or is my mind somewhere else? Is it that I just need to do this for 15 minutes and get out of here? What is it? So all of this thought, وَتَقْصِيرِكَ فِي عِبَادَةِ مَوْلَاكَ. That your shortcomings in terms of the worship of your Lord, وَتَعَرُّضِكَ لِعِقَابِهِ الْأَلِيمِ وَسَخَطِهِ الْعَظِيمِ. And basically, because of this, are you exposing yourself to His severe punishment? And by doing all of our mistakes and our sins on other days, are we putting ourselves down in the face of punishment? So when you start thinking like this, the benefit of what this does, you see already the du'as have softened our hearts out a bit. Then the reading of the Qur'an has softened our hearts out. Whether we like it or not, it'll soften our hearts slightly. Right? But it will do it on a subconscious level. Because when we're doing our du'as and when we're reading the Qur'an, unfortunately most of us don't understand what we're reading. So it will soften it, but not in a very personal kind of level, because we don't really understand what we're reading a lot of the time, unfortunately. Right? And then we've done the dhikr of Allah. All of that softens the heart. Like Ghazali says that if you take the name of Allah, even if you take it with complete negligence, just say Allah, it will still have a benefit because the name is so powerful. Now finally what you're doing is you're sitting and you're thinking. So psychologically what we're doing basically there is that we are really connecting ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're really putting ourselves in that position to do that. So we're really personalizing it. And we're really getting into it. And then he says, وَتَرَتَّبْ أَوْقَاتَكَ بِتَدْبِيرِكَ أَوْرَادِكَ فِي جَمِيعِ يَوْمِكَ. Now for the rest of your day, I'm not going to go through what he's telling us for the rest of the day, because I think, you know, we are busy people, right? And I don't think we would be able to do what he's suggesting. The majority of us won't be able to do it. I'll just tell you right off. Because that whole day is spent really intensely. But I think this part, after Fajr, around that time is something we can all do, inshaAllah. Right, and the barakah that will give to our, I mean, for the entire day, the barakah that will provide us will just be amazing. Because you'll just have this sense of accomplishment that you've started off the day with that. You know, a lot of people who are into exercise, and the best time for the exercise is right in the morning. And I remember that if you drove by the gyms in Santa Barbara, California, in the morning at Fajr time, right, the parking lots will be full. But the masjid, unfortunately, wasn't like that. But what it is that people want to get this initial energy rush. That's where they've got the energy. They're putting it down. They got this feeling of, you know, this sense of rejuvenation. We want to do that for our iman as well. I'm not saying that you don't exercise. I'm saying that we also need to do this for our hearts, for our iman, because that's really what's going to carry us beyond this world, not just to the end of this world. So anyway, he says that now organize your day in terms of what you're going to do, what you're going to perform, what work you're going to do, and so on. لِتَدَارَكْ بِهِمَا فَرَّتَ مِنْ تَقْصِيرِكْ So that you basically fulfill your shortcomings, so that you can overcome your shortcomings. And وَتَحْتَرِضْ عَنِ التَّعَرُّضِ لِسَخْطِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْأَلِيمِ فِي يَوْمِكْ Do it in a way. Now remember, I'm taking this for Ramadan. So put this in the context of Ramadan. What he's saying that organize your day in such a way with all of your readings and everything else that you do in such a way that you abstain and you are able to stay clear of coming under the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if it's the time that we go outside and it's warm outside and there's a lot of fitna outside which is going to spoil our fast because when we look around here and there, you know, I don't have to be more explicit than that. Then when we're about to go outside, just compose ourselves that, look, I need to keep the gaze low. So as one of the ulama mentioned, the idea, you know, this whole idea and this concept of averting the gaze and the second gaze being blameworthy and the first one being forgiven. The idea of that first one is when it happens to fall on something. Not that we intentionally have that first gaze. Because when we intentionally do it, that is not forgiven. And likewise, prolonging the first gaze, for those people who might think that that's also fine, is also not permissible. That becomes a second gaze. That's why one of the alim said, he said that the idea is not to intend, is not to say that I didn't intend to look. But the idea is that you should intend not to look. There's a difference between that. One is that I'm quite carefree and I look around and I say, why? It wasn't really my intention. The other one is that my intention and my focus from the beginning is that I don't look. So I'm going to be a lot more careful. Because my focus is I know that there's a problem and I know I need to avoid it. So that's talking about. So try to organize your day in a way that we abstain from anything that might be wrong, at least during the month of Ramadan. And then he speaks about other things. As I said, I'm just going to pick a very specific things which I think is easy enough for us to do. And then he says, when he gets to Asr, after he's explained the entire day until Asr, he goes off and he starts to exhort again. He says, وَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ أَوْقَاتَكَ مُهْمَلَةً See, because people are going to be thinking, well, you know, I can do things as they come along. I don't have a day, I don't have a schedule for my day. He says that it is not appropriate that your time is just left without any kind of purpose. There's a lot of people who just don't know what to do with their time. You know, there's some people, they just don't have enough time. But there are people who just sit around and think, well, you know, I don't know what to do. And they'll just call somebody up, they'll just do something. You know, that is just completely a time waste. And he's saying that it's not appropriate for a Muslim, for you, especially somebody who wants to get close to Allah. Now the thing is that, look, we've got thousands of people in this area. But Allah has only given tawfiq to us, these people here, to come and sit here. Others may be sitting somewhere else in good majalis. But those who are just standing around, standing outside, just talking and that, obviously, inshallah, this majlis is better than that. Because we're at least hearing something of the deen. So inshallah, it's better. We're not judging anybody. But I'm just saying that we should feel at least good that Allah has given us the tawfiq and we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So we're on the path of guidance. Imam Ghazali is trying to help us along. So he's saying that your time should not be just that I'll do whatever it is that comes along. He says, فَتَشْتَغِلْ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ بِمَتَّفَقْ كَيْفَ اتَّفَقْ So that, you know, you're just going to engross yourself and occupy yourself in whatever comes along, when it comes along. You should have an order of the day about how you spend your time, what you're going to do during this time. بَلْيَنْبَغِي أَن تُحَاسِبْ نَفْسَكْ But it's necessary that you basically take stock of yourself. وَتُرَتِّبْ أَوْرَادَكْ وَوَظَائِفَكْ And that you give some organization to your awrad. Awrad means the amount, the litanies that you're going to do in the day. The litanies means the portions of the Quran and of dhikr and du'as that you're going to read in the day. After this time I'm going to do this much. When I come back from school I'm going to do this much. When I come back from work I'm going to do this much. In my lunchtime I'm going to do this. There's a person that I know who works in a post office. Just sorting out letters and that. But the job is appropriate for him. He finishes a Quran, an entire Quran in one day while he's doing this mundane work of his. Anybody else doing that work is going to get bored. Because it's just such a mundane task. You know, it's just, you're just putting letters here and there. But he is benefiting, and this is not in Ramadan, this is on a normal day, he is completing one entire Quran, because it's half of the Quran, while he's sorting out these letters. I mean, can you imagine 365 Qurans a year? I mean, subhanAllah, that is just amazing. Right? But that's not for all of us. Obviously, you know, we're not going to look at it and say, well, you know, why can't we do that? Because it's not for all of us. But we can have our own little share of whatever we do, and that's what he's talking about here. That have a time for all of your awrad. وَتَعَيَّنْ لِوَقْتٍ شُغْلًا لَا تَتَعَدَّاهُ وَلَا تُؤْثِرْ فِيهِ سِوَاهُ. Have a time for everything which you don't transgress. Have a time for everything that you don't dismiss then. Right? And you don't give anything else then priority over that. But you make sure you stick to it. Now as I said, this is very difficult for the entire year. But Ramadan is a time when we can do this. And that's why I'm mentioning this. فَبِذَٰلِكَ تَظْهَرْ بَرَكَةُ الْأَوْقَاتِ. If you want barakah in your time, then believe me, he says, this is the way that you will get barakah in your time. Now, you know, I've dealt with this issue. There seems to be more barakah in the time. The time is a lot slower, and just the day drags on a lot slower in, for example, Asia than it does in England. And with my experience, England is a lot better than America. When I got to America first, the time was just flying by. I just didn't know where the time was going. And I wasn't even as busy then as I was then later on, you know, 2-3 years afterwards, because I'd just gotten there. And I called one of my teachers up, and I talked to him, and I said, look, this is what the problem is. I just don't find any barakah in the time. And he said that what you need to do is you need to focus on the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that reminded me that when I was at madrasa, and there was a dhikr majlis that used to take place, somebody who never used to go into the dhikr gathering because he was too focused on his work, on his studies. So he was always focused on his studies. He wouldn't go and spend half an hour in the dhikr gathering when his other classmates and others would go. And then what happened is that he decided that he should go. Something happened or whatever. He decided to go and spend half an hour. Now for him to spend half an hour in that gathering was very difficult. He could see the benefits of it, but his focus was so much on learning and education that half an hour away from his books was really strenuous. But the barakah was that when he would get back to his books, he would just accomplish a lot more. The secret of that is simple. There is no secret. You're going in there to remember Allah. Allah is the controller of time. Allah is the one who can stretch time for you or contract time for you. Allah is the one who can do all of these things because He is in control of it. So you give Him some time, He will give you all the time. And I can tell you this from experience, that if we think that we are wasting our time doing the dhikr of Allah or reading the Quran, we could be doing something else. Believe me, the barakah will come. The barakah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who can allow us to accomplish it, whatever we want, if He wants to. And that's why Imam Ghazali is laying that out very clear to us, that make sure you have a time for everything, because that's the way you're going to get barakah. And then he says, فَأَمَّا إِذَا تَرَكْتَ نَفْسَكَ سُدًا مُهْمَلًا إِهْمَالَ الْبَهَائِمِ. Unfortunately, we don't understand this Arabic, but Imam Ghazali, despite being Persian in origin, had a very eloquent discourse. I mean, it is absolutely fascinating. I mean, everybody's just praised his work. I mean, unfortunately, the majority of us here can't understand this, but that's fine. He says, فَأَمَّا if you leave yourself completely without any schedule, in a way, like the beasts. Basically, like the beasts, carefree. If you leave yourself carefree, like the carefree attitude of beasts, they're just grazing around. Something comes up, prey comes up, they'll go after it. Otherwise, they're just sitting around. I mean, they don't have a schedule. You know, like the way we do. I mean, they have their schedule, obviously, they have their schedule, right? But it's kind of like a very carefree kind of thing. لَا تَدْرِي بِمَاذَا تَشْتَغِلْ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. Meaning, you don't know what you're going to be doing at every single time, moment of time. فَيَنْقَصِرْ فَيَنْقَضِي أَكْثَرُ أَوْقَاتِكَ ضَائِعًا. So the majority of your times will just pass by wasted. وَفَاتَكَ عُمْرُكَ وَعُمْرُكَ رَأْسُ مَالِكَ. Your life is passing by you, whereas your life is your capital. Every moment of our life is our capital, in the sense that just a simple example, every subhanallah that we can do in every second of our life, that much we are sowing for the hereafter. So if 5 minutes, just simple 5 minutes pass by when we're doing nothing, we've just wasted that potential. It's like if I sit on the computer and I play the stocks, every minute I play that I can make some money. That means for 5 minutes, if I'm away, what's going to happen? You've heard of those people, I mean, I've read this in the news, where these guys, they're on these computer games, and because they can't spend 5 minutes away from there, there's one who wore a nappy, right? While he's playing a game, an adult, another one had bottles next to him, that mashallah is producing a factory, you know, is producing, while he's playing the game. If people can do that, why not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why not at least in the month of Ramadan? 5 minutes passed away. Forget 5 minutes. I'm just using that as an example. We waste 2-3 hours like that. Days like that. Sometimes. For days we don't do anything sometimes. And it's just spent completely without a single salat. Outside Ramadan, no salat. Work, home. Work, home, going out with your friends and with whoever else there is. And no salat. For days, no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the turbulence that's going to create on the heart. Imagine the effect of that's going to have on the heart. I mean, it's really something to think about. Your life is your capital. وَعَلَيْهِ تِجَارَتُكَ And upon it is your business. Business of the hereafter. Paradise. وَبِهِ وُصُولُكَ إِلَى نَعِيمِ دَارِ الْأَبَدِ فِي جِوَارِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى And by your life, you will acquire a place in the bounties of the abode of permanence in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكُلُّ نَفَسٍ مِّنْ أَنْفَاسِكَ Every breath from your breath is جَوْهَرَةٌ لَا قِيمَةَ لَهَا is a pearl, is a precious stone that is priceless, that has no price. إِذْ لَا بَدَلَ فِيهِ Because there's nothing. Anything else that you lose, you can gain something in place of it. Time, you can't get it back. You become 20, you can never be 16 again. You know, you're 30, you can never be 20 again. And if somebody's 70, they'll never be 50 again. فَإِذَا فَاتَ فَلَا عَوْدَ لَهُ That when it disappears, when it's gone, there's no return. فَلَا تَكُنْ كَالْحَمْقَى الْمَغْرُورِينَ الَّذِينَ يَفْرَحُونَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ بِزْيَادَةِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ مَعَ نُقْصَانِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ He says, don't be like those deceived. Don't be like those deceived fools who are happy, who basically exhilarate each day by an increase in their wealth, but due to a decrease in their lives. فَأَيُّ خَيْرٍ فِي مَالٍ يَزِيدُ وَعُمْرٌ يَنْقُسُ What's the point, he says, what's the benefit in wealth that increases, but a life that decreases? When your life is your capital, not your wealth. وَلَا تَفْرَحْ إِلَّا بِزْيَادَةِ عِلْمٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ فَإِنَّهُمَا رَفِيقَاكَ يَصْحَبَاكَ فِي الْقَبْرِ حَيْثُ يَتَخَلَّفْ أَهْلُكَ وَمَالُكَ وَوَلَدُكَ وَأَصْحَابُكَ And then he says, don't get excited don't get excited except with an increase in your knowledge or in good deeds, because they will be your companions that will accompany you to the grave when your family, your wealth, your children and your friends will return. And then he says, فَإِن شَقَّتْ عَلَيْكَ الْمُدَاوَمَةِ Now this is difficult. I'm saying let's just do this for Ramadan, or minimum let's just do it for the weekends. And then you know what? Imam Ghazali was a psychologist and a half. I mean, seriously. You know, he could probably put any psychology. The amount of insight he had into the heart. You know, when we're talking about spending 15 minutes just thinking, just between us and Allah, he spent 10 years doing that. He gave up everything. I mean, he had the highest position, teaching position, in the top university of the Islamic world, which was the Nizamiya College in Baghdad. It was a position everybody was after. And if you were at that position, you were the greatest of the scholars. Everybody would come to him. He was a Persian who got that position. I mean, seriously. He gave that up. He just left it. And he went and he wandered to Damascus and to Jerusalem and to he went to Mecca and Medina, Munawwara. 10 years he stayed away. And that time, we don't know the exact details of what he did in that time, but obviously it was a time between himself and the amount of realities that dawned on him. Because what they say is that when our hearts are free, when our minds are free of constant everyday activity, our minds open up and we're able to actually see more of the world than we normally see. Because we have more of a purer insight. Because we're not bogged down by all these other things that take up our thought. That's why I said, that do we have time even to think for 15 minutes? Seriously. We'll have time to read Quran, because that's easy. But do we have time to really think? And the humans don't think. Muslims don't think, and I think it's extremely important that we reflect and think. So, when he talks about these things, he knows what the heart is going to come up with. So when he said all of this, at the end of it, he's saying, I know that this is going to be difficult. So he says, فَإِن شَقَّتْ عَلَيْكَ الْمُدَاوَمَةِ. If it's difficult, if remaining on this kind of a routine for a while is very difficult on you and burdensome on you, فَصْبِرْ. فَصْبِرْ. Be patient. But he tells you exactly what kind of patience is. صَبْرَ الْمَرِيدِ عَلَى مَرَارَةِ الدَّوَاءِ انْتِظَارًا لِلشِّفَاءِ. You know, just as when somebody has got a very bad illness and they're given some medicine to take, which is extremely bitter, but intellectually they convince themselves that I have to take this despite the fact that they dislike it, despite the fact that it's difficult, but they have to take it. Why? Because they're waiting for a cure. They're waiting to get better, and they think that there's benefit in this despite the fact that it's difficult. So he's saying that I know this is all going to be difficult for you, but if this does prove difficult, then have patience in the same way that you would be persevere and take the medicine that would be bitter, knowing that there is cure to come inshallah afterwards. And then he says, وَتَفَكَّرْ فِي قَصْرِ عُمْرِكَ. And then think about the shortness of your life. وَإِنْ عِشْتَ مَثَلًا مِئَةَ سَنَةٍ فَهِيَ قَلِيلَةٌ بِالْإِضَافَةِ إِلَىٰ مَقَامِكَ فِي الدَّارِ الْآخِرَةِ وَهِيَ أَبَدَ الْآبَادِ. That put it in perspective that even if you lived for 100 years, let's just say that, you know, we're probably not going to live for 100 years, but let's just say that one of us is going to we're going to live for 100 years. When you look at that, it is actually extremely meager and small when you relate it to the time in the hereafter, which is going to be eternal. It's going to be eternal and everlasting. So when you look at even 100 years in this world, what is that compared to eternal paradise or hell? وتأمل. And think. كيف أنك تتحمل المشقة والذل في طلب الدنيا شهرا أو سنة رجاء أن تستريح بها 20 سنة مثلا. And think that how is it that you can bear the difficulties and the troubles and the burden and the humiliation sometimes when you're seeking worldly gain? Sometimes you have to do humiliating things to get, you know, greater income. You know, whatever that may be. Standing at the shop, dealing with customers, taking the hassle. You know, if you're a distributor, if you're just dealing with people. Right? But why do you do it? Because you want an increase in your profit. You want to make your money. When he's saying that when you can go and bear all of that for a month, for a year, I mean for years. He's just saying a month or a year, in the hope that you will then be able to maybe relax and retire for 20 years. It's a lot, right? 20 years maybe. فَكَيْفَ لَا تَتَحَمَّلْ ذَلِكَ أَيَّامًا قَلَائِلْ رَجَاءَ الْإِسْتِرَاحَةِ أَبَدَ الْآبَادِ. Then why can't you bear the burden? Now remember, the burden of worship is only from the perspective of the one who finds it a burden. And that's what he's taking. He's not saying that it's a burden in reality. It's a burden for those who find it difficult. He's talking to us. So he's saying that, why can't you understand, why can't you bear the burden of this worship, especially during the month of Ramadan, in these small amount of days, so that you can then rest in eternal bliss forever. Literally forever, where there's no end. وَلَا تُطَوِّلْ أَمَلَكْ فَيَثْقُلْ عَلَيْكَ عَمَلُكْ. And don't keep your hopes too high in the world, for the world basically, so that good deeds become difficult for you. وَقَدِّرْ قُرْبَ الْمَوْتِ. And try to determine the closeness of your death. وَقُلْ فِي نَفْسِكْ. And say to yourself, إِنِّي أَتَحَمَّلُ الْمَشَقَّةَ الْيَوْمِ فَلَعَلِّي أَمُوتُ اللَّيْلَةِ. I'm going to just bear the difficulties of this worship today. I'm just going to take my, you know, I'm going to make sure I do all the good worships this day because I might die at night. Or I'm going to, he's saying, وَأَصْبِرَ اللَّيْلَ فَلَعَلِّي أَمُوتُ غَدًا. I'm going to be patient and persevere with these worships during the night because maybe I might die tomorrow. فَإِنَّ الْمَوْتَ يَهْجُمْ لَا فِي وَقْتٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. Because death attacks, not in any particular time, not in any specified time for us. وَحَالٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. Or any special circumstance. It doesn't come when we're in our bed necessarily. It could come when we're in the middle of something haram. It could come in the masjid. We just have to ask Allah that it come in the right time for us. وَسِنِّ مَخْصُوصٍ. Nor does it come in any specific age. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ هُجُومِ. However, it necessarily will come. فَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لَهُ أَوْلَى مِنْ الْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلدُّنْيَا. That's why preparation for it is more necessary than preparation for this world. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ لَا تَبْقَى فِيهَا. Because you know that you're not going to remain in the world forever. إِلَّا مُدَّةً يَسِيرَةً. Except for a short while. وَلَعَلَّهُ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ أَجْلِكَ إِلَّا يَوْمٌ وَاحِدٌ أَوْ نَفَسٌ وَاحِدٌ. And maybe there's only one day left of your life. Or maybe there's just one breath left of your life. فَقَدِّرْ هَذَا فِي قَلْبِكَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. So think about this, determine this in your heart every single day. وَكَلِّفْ نَفْسَكَ الصَّبْرَ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ يَوْمًا فَيَوْمًا. And put yourself through patiently persevering over on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day by day. Drag, he's basically saying, convince yourself. Drag yourself day by day, take it day by day, especially like during the month of Ramadan, just convince yourself every day, one more day, until it becomes easier. فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ قَدَّرْتَ الْبَقَاءَ خَمْسِينَ سَنَةً. Because let's just say that you determine that you will remain alive for 50 years. وَأَلْزَمْتَهَا الصَّبْرَ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. But you made it necessary for yourself to persevere in doing good deeds, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَفَرَتْ وَاسْتَعْصَتْ عَلَيْكَ. This nafs of yours, you see what he's saying, that take it day by day. Because if you think, oh, I've got 50 years, I'm going to have to do this worship. He's saying that what's going to happen is that your nafs is going to rebel against you. When you think about 50 years, you're saying, no way, 50 years. So he's saying that your nafs will disobey you. It will rebel against you. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ. Now, take it day by day, because if you do it that way, فَرَحْتَ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ فَرْحًا لَا آخِرَ لَهُ. Then the happiness that you will attain, the felicity that you will attain at your death, there will be no end to it. It will be the beginning of happiness. وَإِنْ سَوَّقْتَ وَتَسَاهَلْتَ جَاءَكَ الْمَوْتِ فِي وَقْتٍ لَا تَحْتَسِبُ. But if you were lazy and you were negligent and you procrastinated, then your death will come in a time that you will not anticipate. وَتَحَسَّرْتَ تَحَسُّرًا لَا آخِرَ لَهُ. And then you will feel this sense of loss. And this sense of loss to which will be no end. وَعِنْدَ الصَّبَاحِ يَحْمَدُ الْقَوْمُ السُّرَى. It's in the morning that people praise the night. وَعِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ يَأْتِيكَ خَبْرُ الْعُقْبَى. And it will be at the time of death that the news of your hereafter will dawn on you. وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ نَبَأَهُ وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ نَبَأَهُ بَعْدَ حِينٍ. Basically what happens at death is that when we're in this world, we're left to the things of this world. So we can only understand things according to our knowledge and what has been explained to us and what we've been able to think about things. Right? Except those who Allah have opened up for them the realities and they understand exactly what's going on. For most of us, our perception of the way things work in the world is very personal, it's very limited to the way we do things, and based on that we have our fears and our hopes. Right? What happens at death is that all the veils from around us get lifted and we begin to start seeing the world in its naked, stark state, where everything is very real. Whether we used to think this soul is supposed to be this way, but as our soul is being pulled out and the final throes, we start suddenly seeing it as, it wasn't really like that. It wasn't really like that. It wasn't as I thought it was. I would think that this was a good thing. Or I would indulge in it because I thought it was a good thing. But it wasn't really good. It will start dawning on us because the reality will just hit. Because we're moving into another realm. We're moving into this pure realm. And that's the time when somebody's either happy, or that's when the time that somebody starts to agonize. Because it's like we're suddenly leaving this world, and we look back, and we suddenly start feeling that, you know, everything that I've been doing is wrong. But there's no way to go back and sort it out. So it's like when we go, it's in a state of loss. It's like you're writing an exam, and you just couldn't get it. You tried your best and you thought, okay, this was right, and you tried that. As you give your paper and you're walking out of the door, time is up, it hits you. The answer was this, and it was an important exam. How bad are you going to feel? You're going to feel wrecked completely, but that's only an exam. You can take another one. You might just lose what? But this is where there's no return. And that's why you can see his focus is just get this, just understand this. And for different people, you know, this might be sufficient for many of us. Allah make it sufficient for us to realize, to wake up, to start on that path, day by day, as you said. See, at least during the month of Ramadan, it's just the weekends. One particular scholar, he says that he began to realize the reality of this world when he saw, he was in London, very famous scholar, he was in London, and he saw an accident take place in front of him. And he said, what happened is, this guy comes out with a briefcase and a suit, young guy, 26, 27, just starting his career, West End, you know, business district, right, corporate world. He's coming out, you can see that, you know, mashallah, he's got, you know, non-Muslim guy, just coming out with his briefcase, just probably made a, you know, multi-million dollar deal or whatever it is, you know, working up the ladder. You can imagine, you know, the things that are going on in his mind and so on. A car hits him and the guy just dies on the spot. He said, that woke me up. Because I saw that life was so fickle, despite the fact that, you know, we're on the path to riches or prosperity or happiness in this world, but life was so fickle, all gone down the drain. Just in an instant. And not by any fault of one's own. Somebody else's crazy maneuver. Somebody else's carelessness. And it takes somebody down. That could be any one of us. And from that day he turned around. And, you know, basically that was his realization. Now, why do we need that kind of realization when it's being provided to us day by day? We don't need something to happen to us so then we can realize. Allah has opened up these ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to try to organize our day. So what we're going to do tomorrow, inshallah, as far as possible, is have that time. That morning time is just very precious. Seriously, that the time in the morning, the amount of pleasure you will get in standing up and making two rakats of tahajjud, you can't get in the daytime. That's the time that the pious people that we keep hearing about use to get to where they are. That's the time that if somebody makes tahajjud, they get a bright face. I mean, that's what all the ulama have said from experience. That if you want nur on your face, and where people can actually see it. And I'm telling you, people see this. I know a person, he does a lot of dhikr. And, you know, at that time he had a very short beard as well, right? I met a lot of these kind of people in America. Very short beard, but a very decent, nice guy. And another friend of mine, another person, he said that when I met him, I embraced him, and I gave him a hug, and I could just feel something. I was looking for some kind of contentment myself. I was looking for to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I met this person, and the person was just a normal student. I mean, he's not some big buzurg as we call it, you know. He's just a simple person. So when I embraced him, I just felt something there. I just felt this pent-up energy of dhikr. And I asked him, I go, why do you feel like that? Most of us won't be able to notice this, but if you're on the path, you can notice this. You can notice these vibes. And I talked to him and he said, well, you know, he is in some Sufi tariqah, you know, and he does this much dhikr and so on. And basically he's a very sincere seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you could sense that from him. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't something he was going around showing to everybody, but the dhikr was having such an impact on him that people could actually sense it. And, you know, you can sense these things. If you're a seeker, you will sense these kind of things. And that's why I say Ramadan is the time when every little bit really helps because it's easy. So inshallah, let's try to organize our times properly. Our 1 hour, 45 minutes or whatever, just split it up into 10 minutes each. 10, 20, 40, 6, 10, I'm losing my math today. 10, 20, 30, 40. Even just 40 minutes. you know, let's just take 40 minutes, maybe before Fajr or after Fajr, or some before, some afterwards. You know, I don't want to push you to make your tahajjud prayer at the night and then stay up after Fajr, because Fajr in these days of Ramadan takes place early in the masjid, for example. And then after that, if you're going to wait until Ishraq, I know that's difficult for a lot of people, right? If you've been awake for a while at night, it is difficult. So I'm not going to push for that. But I'm saying that let's get this 40 minutes, 10 minutes for du'as. You know, make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the du'as that you can think about. For yourself, for your parents, your family, for the Muslim world. Number two, 10 minutes of Quran reading. Number three, 10 minutes of dhikr. Dhikr, tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, salawat, durood sharif, you know, on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And fourthly, which is the most difficult one I think, is just sitting and thinking. Don't go to sleep in that time. Right? I've done all this, that's the time to go to sleep. Right? Although, if we can actually even do 5 minutes of that and then we fall asleep, inshallah, we might even see some good dreams. Right? That might even be a good thing. But anyway, I've actually seen people who are engaged in dhikr, and you go back a fajr time and they're there, and they've mashallah, they're in their muraqabah, and they've next fajr time, next destination. But anyway, let's try this. And then try to have an organization for our day. We're not saying like every minute is going to be very difficult for us when we've never done it in our life. But at least have for the main thing like, okay, at Dhuhr time I'm going to do this. At Asr time I'm going to do this. I'm going to read this much Quran in a day. I'm going to do this much reading. I'm going to do this much dhikr. I'm not going to do this. Try to stick to that schedule. At least during the month of Ramadan. If somebody comes and tries to bother you, please, you know, just give me a few days. Just politely, you know, just kind of apologize and excuse yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Please make dua for all the rest of us as well, or all the Muslims in this community, around England, around the entire world. The Muslims really need every dua that that everybody can make, because obviously, though we may be sitting back in luxury here and in this, you know, false sense of peace maybe, there are other people who are probably starving and struggling around this time, who are being persecuted and in oppression. We need to remember all of these people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to reflect over these things. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما وهدى ونورا ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا اللهم ارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذه الليلة ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا أيما إلا زوجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين Oh Allah, turn your gaze towards us. Oh Allah, turn your gaze of mercy towards us. Oh Allah, envelope us with your mercy. Oh Allah, these days of Ramadan are going past fast. A week has already passed. Oh Allah, and we haven't really been able to do much. Oh Allah, give us some organization in our time so that we can really achieve something during this month. Oh Allah, grant us the time to do your dhikr and to remember you. Oh Allah, open up our time and give us barakah in our time so we can have all of those good things accomplished that we would like to have accomplished. Oh Allah, turn to us with forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins. Oh Allah, we wasted a lot of our time. Oh Allah, we wasted our time indulging in many different things. Oh Allah, in haram things, in useless things. Oh Allah, we wasted so much of our life already. Oh Allah, for the rest of our life, Oh Allah, grant us some sense of direction, some sense of purpose, true purpose, and to give us an understanding of the eternal abode, paradise. Oh Allah, put us onto the sunnah of your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, give us the ability to abstain from all sins during this month and after. Oh Allah, give us the ability to make all of our salats on time. And if we're ever to forget, Oh Allah, so that we can make qada and we can fulfill them straight away. Oh Allah, draw us close to you. Oh Allah, give us those things that you give to your pious servants. Oh Allah, turn to us with your mercy. Oh Allah, if you don't turn to us and you don't forgive us, there's nobody else that can give us these things. Oh Allah, it's only you that we can extend these shaky hands in front of. Oh Allah, Oh Allah, Oh Allah, give us those things that we're asking you for. And Oh Allah, give us those things which are good for us, but we don't even know that they are good for us. Oh Allah, that we're not even asking you about. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins that we know about and that we've forgotten about. Our big sins and our small sins. Oh Allah, remove our bad habits. Let us get a grip of our soul, of our nafs during this time. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your nur. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your light. Oh Allah, give us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, grant us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, you're the one who gives all. Oh Allah, you're the one who gives everything. Oh Allah, we are weak. Oh Allah, we are feeble. Oh Allah, we make dua to you, we sit in, we read good things, but then suddenly we go back on the same thing. Oh Allah, we make tawbah sometimes. Oh Allah, we repent sometimes. And then we go back and do the same thing again. Oh Allah, you know that this is our nature. Oh Allah, give us strength. Oh Allah, give us strength. Oh Allah, let us never think of forsaking our istighfar. Oh Allah, let us never become hopeless and despondent that our istighfar is not working. Oh Allah, make it easy for us. Make our surroundings easy for us. Oh Allah, that's our struggle. Oh Allah, for you it's just a decision. Oh Allah, it's just a decree for you. For us, it's a lifelong struggle. Oh Allah, whether we like it or not. Oh Allah, accept us as being your mu'mineen and people of paradise. Oh Allah, grant us the highest places in Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, drag us by the forelocks and enter us into paradise, whether we like it or not. Oh Allah, drag us into your mercy and into your pleasure. Oh Allah, we wait to see that day. Oh Allah, we hope to see that day when you will look at the people of paradise and say, is there anything else that you would like? And they will say that we have everything, Oh Allah. And then you will say that I now descend upon you my mercy, my mercy and my acceptance, my pleasure, that I will never again be angry with you. I will never again, my wrath will never again befall you. Oh Allah, let us see your beatific vision in the hereafter. Oh Allah, grant us your closeness in the hereafter and your prophets. Oh Allah, make us along with the highest people in paradise in Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, make our actions like that. Oh Allah, make it easy for us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.